Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.
With downloads gaining on CD sales, we could be looking at the end of liner notes as we know it. But maybe that's fine. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Later on our show, Soundcheck CD Picks of the Week. And Minnesota's The Hold Steady. Well, let me say Minnesota / Brooklyn's The Hold Steady. Talk about aging gracefully on their new album, Stay Positive. But first, back in the day, it was easy. You bought your record, you broke the seal, you listened to the music while reading the album notes, the song lyrics, which could really help out on songs like this one by R.E.M., but today, with sales of downloads gaining on CDs, fans are having to go to greater lengths to get lyrics and album information. And some artists are dropping liner notes from their albums altogether, relegating lyrics and shout-outs to their websites instead. David Brown, author of a recent New York Times article on the subject, joins us in the studio to look at the past and future, perhaps, of liner notes. David, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thanks, John.
So, who is actually getting rid of liner notes?
Well, there are a lot of culprits to it. On one hand, it's people who just download music from the web or buy it on iTunes, and your music is now just an MP3 on your hard drive and on your iPod or your Zune if you have it.
Right, but those people are not getting rid of liner. I mean, people could still be making and publishing liner notes. People just don't care and aren't downloading.
Yeah, they're just not getting them at all. And what's happened is that
about at the other end, though? Are there people who are actually just not giving you this stuff anymore?
Well, yeah, sometimes some artists like Teddy Thompson, Richard and Linda's son, has a terrific new album out, and if you buy the CD, it just says, for lyrics and credits, go to my website. And it's funny, that's partly because they didn't give him a budget for a big enough CD booklet. So he was just like, well, if I can't print all the lyrics, I might as well just not bother. And also, record companies, when they supply material to Apple for iTunes, it's up to them to give Apple a PDF of a booklet that you can download, and some labels do and some don't. You know, Sarah Bareilles' record, for example, has it. I just did a random search of these things, whereas the Raconteurs and Gnarls Barkley's latest albums don't come with PDFs. So even if you buy from iTunes, you're not going to get that information.
Even though that information is out there somewhere.
It's out there on a CD, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So Teddy Thompson, the singer-songwriter, releases this album, has nothing on it but a pretty photo and a direction to go to his website.
Right.
And what did the fans think of that?
They weren't happy, he told me, yeah. He was kind of surprised because he thought, you know, he was just being accommodating to the modern era, the internet era. And he actually got a lot of complaints from fans saying, no, I want that stuff there. And actually, when the album comes out in England, which is around now, is going to have all that stuff in it. So he sort of said, well, I've learned my lesson. But, you know, he was just trying to be accommodating in some ways.
All right. Well, it's you know, people are using less trees, I suppose. That's one way of looking at it. Teddy Thompson, the song's called In My Arms. That is Teddy Thompson. In My Arms is from his latest album, A Piece of What You Need. And if what you need are the lyrics, well, you are just out of luck unless you go to his website. And we are talking with David Brown, the freelance writer who recently wrote for the New York Times on the subject of liner notes and how they might be disappearing. Who really cares about liner notes? I mean, you know, from the listener's point of view and, right. and from the point of view of people who actually produce and engineer records, are we talking about two different groups of people?
In some ways, the listeners, you basically, it's kind of music nerd turf. I mean, let's be honest. You know, the people who sit down and really scrutinize who played bass on this song and the name of the song publishing company, you got to really be a music head to like that. But the people who also like it are the behind the scenes people, the recording engineers and so forth. They kind of build their careers on that stuff, on that sort of word of mouth and having their name listed in on a Bruce Springsteen record as as an engineer, and that can get them more work. And so it's very important to a lot of different people.
But you know, I mean, I know for myself, and I'm sure there are lots of people listening who've had this experience as well. You know, you pick up a CD in the store and you've never heard of the band, but then you see it was produced by someone whose work you really like, or, you know, there's a special guest guitar solo by your favorite guitarist.
Exactly.
And you pick up the record and you find somebody new that way.
Exactly.
So how do we do that if we don't have that information, though?
You know, you have to kind of go to a band's website. You have to kind of Google things if you don't actually have the CD in your hand. And, yeah, that's what's really important. On one hand, this is music nerd turf. But on the other hand, liner notes perpetuate the sense of history. And they allow you to make connections to things. You can, you know, buy Nirvana's Nevermind CD, say, oh, it was produced by Butch Vig, and then you look at Sonic Youth's Dirty, oh, the same producer. Then you buy Garbage's first album, and oh, Butch Vig is the drummer, he's in that, oh, he's the guy who produced those records. And that's just, you know, one of a zillion examples that allow you to learn about music history, make connections, and just be knowledgeable about this, like, 50, 60 years of music that's behind us now.
Is that why we're seeing so much of, when we do see liner notes, so many of them in repackagings, in box sets, in greatest hits and other forms of compilations?
Right. I mean, the CD was a boom in a sense because even though the booklets are smaller than LPs, you had this you know, deluge of box sets. They all came with these booklets and these very extensive notes and what years things were recorded and so forth. But now the CD is dying, and that's what we're seeing. The transition from tactile music to digital music is really where we're going to see the change in the vanishing of liner notes.
A number of comments coming in on the soundcheck page of our website, wnyc.org. Terrell in Edison, New Jersey. I used to love liner notes, but as downloading has made it less and less expensive to buy music, I've drifted away from purchasing CDs. I really don't see why liner notes aren't made more available for download, and no, Wikipedia doesn't count.
Exactly.
Artists and labels should be taking advantage of this unprecedented opportunity in distribution and use it to make liner notes better than ever. Come on, people, get to work. What do you think?
It's a good point. They should be. And, you know, for my article, I was talking to Dave Stewart. He used to be in Eurythmics. And he was actually funny. He was complaining.
He was the other part of Eurythmics.
The other part of Eurythmics.
Not Annie Lennox, the guy.
And he was saying, you know, on one hand, he's like, well, you know, I produced all those records. I wrote all those songs with Annie. Nobody ever knows. No one knows what I did. But he's actually working on some advanced systems where you'd almost have this sort of, like in the future, he sees the liner notes coming from some hologram kind of thing from your stereo. I didn't even know what the heck he was talking about. But, you know, I guess there are some people out there thinking about it and how to do that in the digital era. And, yeah, Wikipedia, they do have a lot of entries for albums. And there's even a new website called, I think it's albumnotes.com, where people are hand-inputting liner notes from classic albums, which sounds like one of those Sisyphean tasks.
Yeah.
You know?
It also sounds like garbage in, garbage out, you know? And I don't mean the band.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so we're talking about liner notes, and in the interest of full disclosure, I've written a number of them mm-hmm. over the years. And, you know, sometimes they serve a purpose, and my blog on the soundcheck page today is kind of, you know, musing about the different reasons for having liner notes, and it could be as simple as, I like Butch Vig's work, therefore he produced this record, I'm going to take a chance on this band.
Exactly.
Can also be something like, for example, Bobby McFerrin, you know, Don't Worry, Be Happy. When he reinvented himself as a classical conductor, produced an album called Paper Music, which seemed like a completely bizarre title. And in the liner notes, the explanation was given, you know, that in Africa, musicians refer to Western composed music as paper music. The idea that, you know, the music, for some reason, exists on a piece of paper.
Exactly.
So it actually gave a little bit of context, you know, for people who were trying to recontextualize Bobby McFerrin, the jazz singer, as a classical conductor. And, you know, he really did reinvent himself with this album called Paper Music. Also reinvented this Bach concerto at the same time. Bach Concerto in A Minor in an arrangement and performance by Bobby McFerrin, who conducts this performance by the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra from his album Paper Music, which featured liner notes by yours truly. And we are talking about liner notes with David Brown, whose article in the New York Times recently focused on at least one artist, Teddy Thompson, whom we heard earlier, who chose not to have liner notes on his latest CD at all. And whether that might, in fact, be the model for the future or not is very much open to debate, a debate that you can be part of. You can leave a comment on the soundcheck page of our website at WNYC.org. You can read my blog and read the other comments that are already there. And if you like, you can call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. If you download music, do you feel like something's music missing, or are you glad to get rid of all of the you know, the jewel boxes and the CD booklets that rip when you try and pull them out and read them anyway? Now, before you get to calls, David, you talked before about how CDs, in a funny way, were kind of a boon to liner notes back in the 80s. But was it also kind of the beginning of the end?
It was both, because, you know, the heyday of these things in a sense, the first heyday was the LP. You know, those that were old enough to remember when Sgt. Pepper came out, that was the first time you had lyrics on the back of a record, and that really was the beginning of a whole new era in a way. And so when you had things shrinking to CD size, you lost a certain something, but you gained things as well. It was kind of a mixed thing. But they were both, again, tactile piece of music you could hold in your hand to look at. Now the idea of listening to a song or an album in front of your computer and, like, clicking around while you're listening to see what the lyrics are, try to find things, it's really not the same. It's a little more exasperating. And, you know, we're supposed to be able to lie on our couches and listen to music, not always listen to it in front of the computer.
Well, but now here's the thing. I mean, people are downloading because the music is therefore portable, and they don't have to be in front of their computer or on their couch. They can be in their car driving down the LIE, and you don't want to be reading something while you're doing that.
No. So unless you like to live on the edge.
Yeah.
Like paper rock stars.
But you know, so what does that say about, you know, do we need liner notes in an age when music has become this kind of mobile thing?
Well, you know, compared to what's happening in the world, you know, liner notes are probably a thing of relatively minor importance. But yeah, I mean, that is the problem with the portability thing. And even if you download something onto your iPhone or whatever, you might, if you're lucky, you'll get the cover of the record. You're not going to get anything else. You can't download a PDF onto your iPhone. And they're still trying to figure out how to do this. In essence,
trying to figure out how to do it right, because you can get PDFs onto your computer
sometimes. Right, exactly.
All right, let's see what some of our soundcheck listeners have to say. Brian joining us from Boca Raton, Florida. Hi, Brian.
Good afternoon.
So, are you a fan of liner notes?
I love liner notes. I've always loved liner notes, and I miss them now that we're in the digital age and I'm downloading everything from an online source. But I think my favorite you know, movie site for liner notes is the Internet Movie Database. And there should be something like that for records, because that way you could click on a person's name, a producer or a drummer, and find everything they've ever been associated with in a massive database like that.
That's an interesting idea. The IMDb, for people who haven't actually gone there, you know,
the International Liner Notes Database.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Mm.
So any movie director, anybody who was a key grip or anything like that, you type in their name and you get everything they've worked on. So you're suggesting, Brian, that the record companies, I guess it would be the bands themselves in a lot of cases, would sort of know that this place was there and everybody would just upload everything to it.
Yeah, like maybe associated with what's it called, ASCAP, you know, maybe dig into their archives and have them create the database and have it available online. When you download a movie, an album, you go directly to it, and you can see everything that's ever been done by that band or by that producer.
I'd love to see the cowbell entry, the golden cowbell. You get some great things come up.
That's really not a bad idea. Yeah. Birder from Brooklyn writes this on the soundcheck page of our website. This is the whole reason I don't download music. If it wasn't for liner notes, I would never have found half the music I listen to. I love to know who played what and where things were recorded. And David, there is throughout recent musical history, by recent I'll say the last half century, lots of examples of liner notes actually making kind of a big difference for an artist. For example, Bob Dylan, when he did Nashville Skyline, who wrote those liner notes?
Johnny Cash. It was like a big blurb of endorsement from Johnny Cash. And that record also listed the Nashville musicians who played on it, and the fact that it was even, you could read that it was actually recorded in Nashville. You know, again, that it, when you would read credits and see where things were recorded in the country, gave you a sense of where the band was from or where a particular sound. If Elvis Presley, you know, when he recorded those great records in Memphis, you'd see that in the credits, like, oh, he was Suspicious Minds, etc., recorded down, like, actually down south in Memphis, like this great music town.
Right. So who would make the pilgrimage to Sun Studios if they didn't see Sun, you know, on all those records over the years? All right. So Bob Dylan got a big assist from Johnny Cash on Nashville Skyline, both in terms of the liner notes and, of course, on the record on this song called Girl from the North Country.
If you're traveling to the North Country Fair, where the winds hit heavy on the borderline, remember me to one who lives there. For she once was a true love of mine. See for me that her hair's hanging down. It curls and falls all down her breast. See for me that her hair's hanging down. That's the way I remember her best.
Bob Dylan with Johnny Cash. Girl from the North Country is from Nashville Skyline. Music by Bob Dylan. Liner notes by Johnny Cash. And we're speaking with writer David Brown, whose recent article in the New York Times asks the question, what is the future of liner notes in the digital age? And going back to the comments page on our website, David, a couple of dissenting voices. I mean, so far we've heard from people who really, you know, love liner notes. Joachim at work in Midtown. I don't really care much about liner notes, but buy CDs for a different reason. I don't trust downloaded music because if your computer crashes and you lose the music, it is gone. As for the last caller, he needs to check allmusic.com. This is Brian's idea of kind of an international movie database for music. And Erica, here in New York, also says, does allmusic.com come close? What do you think?
They list complete discographies, and there is some information on there. I'm not sure how complete that is. I mean, having for any site to be complete, you know, admittedly, would be a huge job at this point, given the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of albums out there.
All right, so
it's an impossible task.
Just briefly, where do you see us going with liner notes? Is it going to be simply people who are Luddite enough to insist on buying the physical product will be the only ones getting it?
I think so at this point. I think you're probably going to see bands using their websites more and more as liner notes. And it will save on paper, and that's not something to ignore at this point. So I think you're probably going to be seeing more of that. And as the CD dies away especially, you know, there have been some musicians who complained to me for this article that people need to get on the case of the record companies more to make sure that they give, say, Apple all the materials so it's not just sort of haphazard, that listeners will they'll get all the credits, you know, when they buy that record.
Well, you know,
iTunes.
We're going to wrap up here with Radiohead, and of course, when they released this album, you know, in rainbows, digitally, pay what you will, that was what everyone focused on. But of course, it was a digital release, which meant no lyrics, no liner notes, no production credits, nothing, unless you sprung for the super, you know,
deluxe
edition,
thing,
right?
Yes, exactly.
So is that, in a funny way, kind of a model of the future as well?
It could be. You know, I think they released that on vinyl as well,
if I'm correct.
Like a limited edition vinyl. There is a growing resurgence of interest in vinyl. So, you know, which is a real, again, hardcore music nerd geek area, you know. But, you know, the record companies are now selling 5,000-10,000 copies of a new album on vinyl. And maybe those are the people. Maybe we can actually find a number now for the actual number of people who want that stuff.
Well, Radiohead, House of Cards, will wrap up this portion of Soundcheck. We've been speaking with David Brown, the freelance music journalist and author, who recently wrote the New York Times article, Shoutouts to Mom and God, See Online. David, good to have you back on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Great to be here, John.
And thanks to everybody who's called in. The discussion continues on the Soundcheck page of our website. Check out the comments there at WNYC.org. Coming up next, Soundcheck's CD Picks of the Week. Liner notes or not, there are three new favorites selected by our Soundcheck staff. And then later, the band The Hold Steady stop by to share their mix of riff-heavy rock and dense, artful lyrics. And yes, they're all printed in the liner notes on their new record.
It started when we were dancing. It got heavy when we got to the bathroom. We didn't go back to her place. We went to some place where she can't sit. She said, I know I look tired, but everything's fried here in Memphis.